kitchen and then get writing.
My name is David Scott. I play wide receiver for the University of British Columbia football team, and I'm here to discuss the Be More Than a Bystander program. Myself and a few other players were lucky enough to work alongside the BC Lions and EVA, the Ending Violence Association, to support this cause. The main goal of the Be More Than a Bystander initiative is to increase awareness of domestic violence against women. For more information on the cause, please visit endingviolence.org.
Do you like Friends? Well, we like you, so become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gives you all kinds of deals with our friends on Main Street, including 10% off at Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Red Cat Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
And you're tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Brian McDonald. It's time for Scald's Hall here in Vancouver and everywhere else where you might be listening from, actually. And tonight we have a couple of programs that will fill out our hour nicely. We'll be listening to a couple of pieces by Julie Hoverson. One of them, the one at the bottom half of the hour, will be People Who Live in Wax Houses. Yes, People Who Live in Wax Houses. And the first one will be a brief story by Marcus Clark. And those are coming up in just a moment here on CITR. So sit back, relax, begin your weekend with us, and enjoy this, your first Friday in June, with some spoken word entertainment.
UBC's Museum of Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of Indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
Have you heard?
It's all the rage.
The wit, the sense, the jokes.
I chortled.
I guffawed.
I laughed until I choked.
Put down your cell phone, turn off the Xbox, just for a short while, and join us for something your great-grandmother might have laughed at, or perhaps blushed at, From famous authors to long-lost gems, Edwardian Entertainments explores the short stories of a past century, wherever they may be found. Tonight, we bring you The Haunted Author, from the pen of Marcus Clark.
What can I do for you, sir? He was a tall, broad-shouldered man in a rough pea jacket and scowled portentously.
Put me into an honest livelihood.
What?
Don't you understand? I want to become a reputable member of society. I want some honest employment.
But, my good sir, why do you come to me? Your motive is most excellent, but I am a writer, so an honest employment is the last thing at my disposal.
That be blowed. You could give me a fortune if you liked, you know you could. But I don't want that. Now I'm flight of that game. You'll have some blessed elder brother that nobody knowed of making back from New Zealand and succeeding to the ancestral mansions. Or you get me pitched out of my gilded chariot at the church door and marry my wife. That ought to be to someone else. Oh, now you. I only want a modest competence. Nobody interferes with that.
Your language is even more mysterious than your appearance, my friend.
Sure, don't you know me?
I never heard a man outside a book say four. Never. It seems that I ought to know you. That hat, that pea jacket, that knotted scarf around your muscular throat, those fierce eyes, all are vaguely familiar. You don't happen to have any marks about you? A cold sweat of recognition broke out upon my brow. He laughed, that bitter laugh which I have described so often.
I have a peculiar mole on the back of my neck. The tip of my left ear is shot away. My right side still bears the mark of Pompey's claws when he defended his young mistress Alice in a lonely swamp.
Pompey? The cat?
I've lost a little finger on my right hand and have three pear-shaped wings besides the usual allowance of strawberry marks.
My villain?
None of that.
But why come here? Are you here to kill me?
I'm sick of it. I ain't to be badgered anymore. It ain't a respectable business, you know. First I was Jabez Jamrach, then Blackwell the Smuggler, then Carlos Callahan, then a poacher, then a burglar, then an unjust steward, and now I am an escaped convict.
Of course, without you, my world-renowned novels would not be what they are. And you want to...
To be left alone. It ain't because I'm out all nights in all sorts of weather, mostly thunderous. It ain't because I'm often drunk, in debt, and totally disreputable. It ain't because I've murdered a large variety of mothers and brought the grey hairs of a corresponding number of aged fathers with sorrow to the grave. It ain't because my language is altogether ridiculous and I leave out more H's and put in more outs in my conversation than any natural man did yet.
No?
No, it's because I'm always left at the end of the third volume, if I'm still alive, without any hope of mercy or promise of repentance.
Oh. take some brandy. Just as I've always written.
What?
No, nothing.
I can't even drink, how I please. Is it right? Is it just, Governor? Your comic servant winds up with the chambermaid. Your aristocratic villain, the Marquis, my master, who poisons his niece and shoots his aunt with an air gun. He's all right. He's never hung in chains or took the Newgate or starved to death in a deserted drive on the diggings in Bendigo.
I'm so sorry. I never knew how you felt.
But why waste words? Are we not alone here? No sound but the whistling of the wind in the wide chimneys of the moated grange. No footsteps but that of the midnight mouser as she creeps stealthily to her prey. Thou art mine, eh?
Ha ha, indeed. And about...
Nah, wavy hair, square-toed Wellingtons, massive watch chain and perfect handkerchief. This must be...
Sir Aubrey de Briancourt.
Assist me.
You? And who are you?
This will get him. Hist, proud scion of a lordly house, there is another Sir Aubrey. Refuse me aid and young Fairchild will assume your name and your title. These minions are beyond my power, but remember, you are to be continued in my next novel.
Take my cabriolet dog, I will hold off this wretched villain.
Quickly away.
Yes, sir. Someone's hard up on our heels, sir. Don't hurt me. I never get more than one line.
Come out, you cur.
And who are you supposed to be?
I am the typical digger. I am the man whom you and the others of your tribe have made to eat banknotes as sandwiches. I have shod my horse with gold and swigged champagne, which I detest, out of stable buckets. Am I to pass my life in finding repeatedly gigantic nuggets and being perpetually robbed of the same? Must I never shave? Shall the tyranny of the fiction monger compel me ever to sleep in my boots?
Calm yourself, my friend. There is not much harm done. I know of some poor fellows who the fiction mongers have treated much more rudely. Oh, no!
Stop! Hold, I say!
Once it leaves, you cannot stop it. Do you not read your own scratchings?
True. Some things seem inevitably to follow one another. But you can change that. Here.
I may not be the lowest of the low, and you may not be either. But we are both here, now, and I will be revenged on thee. Come!
Where did that inn come from?
Oh, there's always a bush inn when it is convenient to you.
And he'll knock three loud blows.
Come.
But these, they all look like... Oh, horrors. Madeline...
Wretch! Why did you not unite me to the Duke? You know you only changed your mind at the last moment.
And?
Monster! You made me pass 3 nights of horror in the Red Farm when one stroke of your pen would have freed me.
Ah, Violet. Mordecai?
Christian dog. I was born with the charitable impulses and should have lent a peace and a humble shilling upon the ragged coat of poverty had your not felon soul plunged me into crime to gratify the tastes of blood and thunder loving public.
Ah, and I know this cynical smile. Henry Mortimer.
Ha! Did I wish to throw my elder brother down a well in order to succeed his name and heritage? No, I loved him fondly, madly, as you took pains to state in your earlier chapters.
Away with him.
Lady Millicent.
I knew not of the deadly power of strychnine until he schooled me.
'Twas he that blighted my voluptuous contours with an entirely unnecessary railway accident.
Away with him.
Mercy! Mercy!
Mercy? Mercy? When for 2 long years you deliberated whether my sainted mother or the poacher's wife should give me birth? Mercy for thee? Oh, no, no, no.
I beg of you.
No, no, no!
They helped me above a newly dug grave. Held me in a fearsome grip.
Why seek to dispel my ennui with this espillerie, mon ami? Sacre, let the pauvre petit escape. My déjeuner at the fourchette awaits. The coup d'œil is superb. The tout ensemble, all that could be desired. Voilà.
Nah, into the grave with him.
Yay!
Oh, God.
Yes!
No. Yay! No, please.
When your waistcoat gives way, that'll be the end of you.
I'm 3 buttons from the grave.
That's one.
Hurrah!
Hurrah! Hurrah!
Hurrah! Hurrah!
Hurrah! Hanging by a thread.
Out! You? Will you make me respectable?
Never.
Ah!
Who is there? Who is there?
The boy from the printers is here for the proofs.
Tell him to wait. I'm nearly done. Despite his entreaties, he was carried off by the authorities and locked safely in irons deep in the bowels of Norfolk Island. Ha!
Once again, we must sign off.
And go our separate ways.
But we'll be here
again next month.
Let's call it a date.
The most powerful motivational speeches that I have ever heard came from people who told me I couldn't do something. You know why? Because when they told me I couldn't do it, I was bound and determined to show them that I could.
Did you know CITR has an accessibility collective? Our new collective serves to explore issues of inclusion, equity, and accessibility for people with physical and cognitive disabilities on campus and beyond. If you love making radio, listening to radio, or want to get involved for the first time, come join our collective. We include people of all abilities, experience levels, and backgrounds in the production and programming of our show. Tune in to our weekly show, All Access Pass, from 5 to 6 p.m. on Thursdays for interviews, music, news, events, and awesome dialogues. If you want to get involved, email accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
If only I could dream we could start again.
Hey, why so sad?
Oh, nothing really. Not very convincing, Jane girl. Whatever it is, I've got just the cure for it.
One, two, three,
four.
Did you know CITR has a women's collective? This brand new collective is all about providing and fostering a community for women who are or who want to be in radio, fighting the gender disparity in media, and centering women's voices and issues. If you are a female-identified person or ally who's already involved in radio or wants somewhere to start, this collective is for you. Email womenscollective@citr.ca for more information and to get involved. And tune in Friday at 6 p.m. for the collective show, Lady Radio, featuring music, interviews, events, news, commentary, basically anything we care to talk about. See you then.
Well, how do you like it?
There's only one word for it. Terrific.
You know, I'm so proud of it, it's almost indecent of me.
19 Nocturne Boulevard. Nocturne Boulevard? Not far. When you hit Howard, hang a right. Howard meets Philip at a weird kind of angle. Then you cross James and Paul. You can't miss Nocturne. It's just past the automat.
19 Nocturne Boulevard. Your address for suspenseful stories of the speculative, strange, and supernatural.
Tonight's episode is People Who Live in Wax Houses.
This is 19 Nocturne Boulevard. Won't you step inside?
Did you have any trouble finding it? What do you mean, what kind of a place is it? Why, it's an upturned car by the side of the road. Can't you tell?
We need to get out of here.
What? What happened?
Don't worry about that now. We have to get out.
Am I upside down?
Mother? What are you talking about? Mother, you'd be better off picking one charity and giving them all the money than splitting it 17 different ways. You're spending more on postage each month than you're actually giving them. The business isn't doing very well, you know. Someone's coming in, Mother. I have to go.
She don't understand the pressure you're under.
I don't need to hear it from you either.
End up upside down.
It was marvelous. I don't know why you swerved, but there was a bridge and we were in the air, and then we weren't.
I should have turned off the engine. It might catch fire.
I hope you didn't leave anything important in there.
I don't recall.
Look at me. Are you concussed? Oh, we need to find a phone.
Yes, thank you. I'll be watchful. No, I'm not alone. I have assistants, customers. Goodbye now.
Was that the filth?
Yes.
What were they after?
Nothing we have to worry about. There's apparently been some break-ins in small businesses next town over. They brought round some sketches of the culprits.
Huh. Ugly bleeders. No refinement.
They're just identikit sketches. Of course they're going to be substandard. The girl, though, I'd like to see her bone structure.
I'll wait till you would, me old son.
Leave him alone. The boy is lonely.
I'm hardly a boy, madame. Haven't been in a long time.
You know I do not mean anything by that. It is hard for us, who have watched you grow, to not take a parental interest in your affairs.
Of course.
What will you do if they come here?
There are three of them. I shall have to call the police. We'll just hand over the cash box. Not that there's enough there to satisfy such creatures. Never seem to be enough.
Hello?
Customers.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
A wax museum, how exciting!
I'm just looking for a phone.
Aha, the keeper of the crypt.
It's a bit late for a tour. I should have locked up hours ago.
So sorry to bother you, but do you have a telephone I might use? I've had a bit of bother on the road.
You haven't run into that gang, have you?
Gang?
The Flyer. Yeah, the police are very eager to apprehend them.
Ugh. Nothing so dramatic. We just ran off the road.
Oh?
Yes. Alexis and I... she did say something about needing the ladies' room.
Ah, of course.
Should we be worried about this gang?
The Flyer says they tend toward isolated houses, small businesses, and always while there's someone home.
What happens to the occupants? Oh...
In response to your carefully crafted article regarding the religious practices of the gay tribe of the lower Amazon basin, I must respectfully disagree with your conclusion. Now, where was I? Disagree with your conclusions. Ah, yes, your facile insistence on the purely symbolic nature of the cannibalistic overtones of... Goodness! What could that be?
So sorry. I'm a bit lost.
Young lady, why do you feel the need to break a window rather than knock on the door like a civilized person?
Because she ain't a civilized person, old Barbara, is she?
I say, that wainscoting is 300 years old.
Old enough to know better, eh? Not as old as you, though, is it, Grandad? These ropes too tight? Good.
Come away, Des. Don't frighten the poor old bastard. Yet.
Look, it's a dolly. But it's a boy dolly.
Put that down. As an ancient Zuni fertility idol, it's priceless.
I think he's happy. He's going to do a little dance.
Leave Barbara to her dolly, Scaffer. Look at me. Where is the money?
Money?
Yeah, bring on the lolly.
Money. Do understand plain English, don't you?
I don't have any money.
Now, don't try that one. Look at this house.
Lovely.
All your bits and bobs. priceless, you said. Now, even I know that don't mean you got it for free.
That's precisely it. I don't have any cash. Every penny I own is tied up in my artifacts, and many of those are on loan.
Barbara?
Yes, Kevy?
I don't want to talk to your new dolly pal, Barbara. This isn't for his ears.
Ooh. Now he can't hear you.
I think that if Grandpa here ain't more helpful, your dolly might have to do the fire dance.
But I like him. He's like a great big gamer, Jax.
You could weapon like a dog.
We'll find you another dolly, Barbara.
He wants to go and dance on the mantelpiece anyway.
I tell you, there's no money. It's all been spent.
What you got here of value, then? We can't go away empty-handed.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be a bad host, would you?
Dolly says his feet are cold. He wants to warm them up.
Don't, please. Look, everything here is of immense value, but not the kind of value that you're looking for.
Eh?
They're not things you could sell.
Got anything we could take apart? Any lovely gold or jewels?
Dolly doesn't have any feet anymore. What shall I burn off next?
Do the winky!
I haven't any gold or jewels, nothing. I specialize in primitive cultures. They work in wood and stone and...
Dolly's dead. What shall I play with now?
What's this thing? A ball?
A ball with a face! But it can't see nothing because it's all stitched up.
Be careful with that. That is a very, very...
So it's a very... What's that when it's an O?
It's a very dangerous item.
Dangerous? Hear that, Des? The ball's dangerous.
It's said to be the shrunken head of an ancient witch doctor, and a terrible curse is supposed to fall on any who disturb it. The defiler will be doomed to die throughout all eternity.
We are not disturbing it, are we, sweet Barbara?
Not at all. He likes me. What's his name?
There's no way to know. It was forbidden to say.
I'll give him a name, then. Let's call him Percy.
Tossy, yeah.
Toss what?
Toss Percy.
Here.
Oh, please, put it down. You need to stop playing with that. That thing.
Never you mind. Percy likes me. Percy wants to go down my blouse. Don't you, Percy?
The curse. Whoever disrespects that shrunken head will die horribly before a new dawn breaks.
Percy would be watching you through my buttonholes. Except he's got his little eyes stitched shut. Kev, you have anything to cut them stitches with? Percy wants to see.
I'm sick of this. We tried to talk to you nicely, Granddad. But we're bored of that now.
For Percy?
No, shh. Barbara. We're way beyond Percy now. New game's called Pokey Sticky.
My favorite game.
Rules are simple, Granddad. Each time I ask you where the money is, and you don't tell me, I stick you with me knife. Shall we begin?
I can't believe we didn't win.
And not a blasted thing worth stealing anywhere.
Let's go play somewhere else.
Can I keep Percy? He's rather cute.
No. Percy needs to visit Dolly.
What's that?
Someone might be hurt.
Let's go and see if we can do anything about it.
Is there a phone?
Can you wait a few minutes? I'm expecting a rather important call.
She's staring at you. She suspects.
Nonsense. Perhaps some tea?
Oh, that would be lovely. If you don't mind, I thought I might have a look at the exhibits while I wait for my friend.
Of course, I can take you through or...
Bye.
Oh, drat. There's something I'm working on in the back. Can you look after yourself?
Of course. Don't fret on my account.
Jack the Ripper. A mysterious figure that terrorized London during the reign of Queen Victoria.
Nicely done.
You beast! Sneaking up on one like that.
I didn't want to butt in you. It looked like you were actually talking to a man.
And now you can make some crack about him being just a waxwork.
Darling, you know I wouldn't. And I wasn't talking about devilishly handsome Jack here. I doubt he'd have much to say. No, that adorable aging schoolboy in the cardigan.
Oh, I see. I wasn't thinking of him as a... well, as a man.
You were thinking of him as a woman?
No! You make everything sound so sordid.
I only want to look after you. You know you haven't spent enough time in the world.
And now I have no place else to go.
Is it such a bad thing? Your brother had that doctor under his thumb. As long as you were labelled unfit, he had free rein over the family fortune.
I never wanted any of that.
There's nothing at all wrong with you, Pippa. Everyone has neurosis these days, isn't that right, Dr. Grande?
We understand so much more about the human brain in these modern times than they ever did in the past. Medication is able to ameliorate even the most unpleasant of medical conditions.
I don't have any unpleasant medical conditions. I'm just lonely and unhappy.
And much of this came on about the time you began seeing this Alexis woman?
You make it sound so sordid.
And a fine kind of friend to have.
Shh. Remember, Mr. Caldecott, we agreed there would be circumspect about your sister's friend.
Must you talk across me as if I wasn't even here, or a half-wit? I don't care if she's not quite good people. She's my friend. Is that so terrible? There is someone out there who wants to be kind to me, wherever she happens to come from.
We all want to be kind to you, Pippa.
Please. Pippa, what about the people your brother has been introducing you to? Haven't you made any new friends?
They all look at me as if I've tracked mud into their stately homes, as if working class might be contagious.
We're getting nowhere. Doctor, did you have that new medicine ready?
I don't want any more medicines.
Then you'd best get over all of this. I still believe that all your troubles spring from your stubborn refusal to grow up.
Please, calm down.
Oh, yes. When you're stubborn, it's acceptable, since you're the man of the house. But when I am intractable, incorrigible, and neurotic.
We're leaving. We'll return when you feel a bit more cooperative.
Yes, of course. I want to go home.
The prescription, Doctor. Pippa? Pippa! Damn it, she's got the car keys.
Go after her. She can't be allowed to drive, not in such a state of emotional distress. There's no telling what might happen.
Don't act so surprised. I thought for sure you'd saw me through the window.
No! How did you get here?
Hitchhiked. Can you believe it?
And we're stuck on foot.
Shush.
Respect those keys, Pippa. I'm very cross.
See if you could engage her. Keep her talking.
Shh. Teach your mother, grandmother, to suck eggs.
Almost. We'll make a proper slag of you yet.
Pippa! I'm not mad anymore.
Pull the other one. We should get moving, though. That doc will have burly nurses with hairy knuckles combing the hedgerows.
Is there some place we can go?
Did you ever learn how to drive?
Christopher tried to teach me. I was all right as long as everything was clear and the road was straight. Besides, he's between us and the car.
Let's change that, then. Get him hopping. Circle back.
I think she's out here. Try and stay quiet.
Too bloody late.
Come on.
Pippa, is that you? Come back, Dunny.
Can happen.
Oh, no.
Pippa.
Oh, no.
Stop this now.
Ouch.
Pippa, leave the keys and step out of the car now and we'll speak no more of this.
Ash, shut it, you bleeder.
Oh.
Oh, good.
I thought you was a goner.
Christopher!
He's out. I tossed him out the back door.
He's not really hurt, is he?
I don't think so. He's breathing. I don't see any blood.
What do we do now?
Drive.
I don't know if I can.
When I'm here, you can do anything. Isn't that what you always say?
Can't you drive?
Never learned. It's all on you now. Come on, the open road calls. Antoinette, how lovely.
She looks sad.
Well, you would too, if your head was in a basket.
But, I mean, the face. It has such an expression on it. It might have been merely a mannequin, but instead...
Did you find your friend?
What? Oh, Alexis? She was just here.
Maybe she moved on to the next exhibit.
Seize the chance to be alone with
La Petite. I hope I haven't done anything to frighten her.
Alexis? She's not afraid of anything. It's me.
Oh?
Alexis, you beast.
What was that?
I think I know what it is. She's been trying to get me to talk more. To strangers, you know? Men.
Oh.
It's frightfully embarrassing.
No. It's rather charming, really. I hope you don't mind. I mean, mind me not being the most conversational person.
You seem to be doing fine.
I'm more comfortable talking from a script. Perhaps I can show you some of the exhibits?
That would be lovely.
Let me hop back and make sure everything's going well in the cookery. And I shall return on the instant. All right?
Yes.
You caught me.
Where did you go?
Just here, behind the Headless Queen. Plenty of room with a dress like that. And look at you, such a flirt.
He's very nice.
Yeah, for now. But we'll have to keep moving soon, before Christopher finds you again.
Oh, no.
Shh, the cardigan's coming back. I'm off.
She's coming along nicely.
Good. Can you handle it?
Go on.
You're making a mistake, old son.
What do you mean? Crippen likes her?
Not that. The new girl. What's all this chitter-chatter anyway? Girls never go for fellas like you. All woolly tweed and bow ties. They're like brutes, like me.
Yes, and look what that gets them. She's a very nice girl. I don't think she would like a brute.
Well... If the tea and sympathy don't work, you know I know what to do.
Are you there?
Just about. I prefer to talk with a girl. You're only after one thing.
It's the only thing worth having.
Sorry, I have a couple of assistants, but I don't want them to bother us. Not now.
Oh, good. And your mother?
Oh, dear, I hope she won't need me. She lives upstairs, but she's an invalid. Mother used to be quite a beauty. In fact, Marie Antoinette, the exhibit you were admiring, was modeled on her many years ago by my father.
So you grew up here?
Wax is, as they say, in my blood. My great-grandfather opened this museum the same year as the Diamond Jubilee. That year, everything was the Queen. A scene for every stage of her life. But over the years, people just lost interest in seeing the pleasant side of things. And one by one, everything became horrors and murderers.
Spanish Inquisition, that most infamous time of darkness, that blot in the history of mankind. And now we jump forward in time to that mysterious villain of the last century, Jack the Ripper. Not his real name, of course, merely a name, what he signed on his taunting correspondence with the police. What are you doing here?
He looked at me.
My son, Malcolm, come here. You need to go right into the back room. Do not touch anything. I'll be there presently.
Yes, Father?
Such an imagination children have. Come along. Over here we have...
What's wrong, boy?
What are you doing here?
Maintenance. What are you doing here?
I'm not supposed to go into the exhibit where Father's giving a tour.
Why not?
Children aren't supposed to be exposed to the horrors of the Wax Museum.
But you've been in there before. I've seen you.
Father says I should know what I'll be coming into. He lets me sweep up, but I'm not to touch anything.
Things do break so easily.
Who are you talking to?
Why, him. Crippen.
Don't play games, Malcolm. You know very well Crippen is just a wax statue.
And wax statues cannot talk.
Of course, Father. It was just my imagination.
You wouldn't want to know Crippen if he was alive anyway. He was a murderer and drowned his wives in a bathtub.
I felt terrible about it. I even worried I was being cruel. But after seeing the others here, I find I was rather gentle.
Shh.
What?
Can I do something to help?
And Jack was saying just the other day...
Were you talking to someone?
Practicing my spiel while I touch up Marie Antoinette. I'm looking forward to reopening the exhibits, Mother.
Oh, dear.
What is it?
The will. Your father felt you weren't ready to take over just yet. You are only 15. He's left everything in charge of your Uncle Barry until you reach 21.
Barry? He doesn't want to work here.
He may choose to make some changes.
Fiend.
But Father wouldn't have wanted that.
Your father is dead. You are going to have to learn to obey your elders, even when they are doing things you do not like.
I can't see anything good coming of this. You should have seen the look on his face this afternoon.
I don't know what I can do.
I do.
Shush.
You might want to listen to him.
I can't. It's bad enough I talk to you and Marie, but him?
Hist.
Ah, young Malcolm.
Uncle Barry.
Malcolm, it's time we discuss some of the plans I have for this place.
Father left it in your care. You're supposed to care for it.
Yes, yes, but I'm a businessman first and foremost, and this is hardly a business.
Whatever do you mean?
This museum has lost money consistently since your grandfather's day. It's not so much a business as a hobby. Run as it is, it'll use up all the family money by the time you reach maturity. While I doubt your father realized just how bad the financial situation is, he was never good with money, he can't have expected me to stand by and watch you lose everything.
Everything? The exhibits?
Blast the exhibits! You'll lose the house! And then where will you and your mother live?
Be reasonable. See what he's up to.
What precisely are you thinking of doing?
Well, to begin with, we'll open this place up a bit. Put some tables in, maybe a stage. Turn it into a nightclub.
What?
We might even keep some of these mannequins around for atmosphere. Make it a sort of thing.
Keep some of them around? What do you plan to do with the rest?
They're very collectible. Not worth much here, since the tourist trade don't come by no more, but someone would be willing to pay a pretty penny for them.
Don't get mad. Don't let him know.
My father and my grandfather and his father made every one of these statues with their very own hands. How can you speak of selling them like...
Harsh reality, son. You want to still have a home for your dear mother's golden years, don't you?
Yes.
Then you just keep your head screwed on right, and I'll teach you how business works.
What do I do, Crippen?
You know I know what to do.
First, you never ever let him catch you in here like this.
He's taken Mother into town for dinner, making up to her, hoping she can get round me.
Yes, he would, wouldn't he?
I can't let him do this, turn this place into a...
pit of iniquity?
I don't want to hear you.
You should, my lad. I'm the one what's got the answer for you.
No.
You should listen to Jack, Malcolm.
But he...
Sometimes you have to break a few eggs.
Did you hear anything last night, son?
No, sir. We've had vandalism before, but not like this.
Not like this at all.
My uncle must have walked in on them.
These hooligans today. Never used to be so quick with a switchblade.
Read somewhere that they kill witnesses now to avoid being identified.
What the world is coming to? We'll send someone along to clean all this up. Save you and your mother some worry.
I'm sure Mother will appreciate that once she feels better.
Looks like you're the man of the house now.
I suppose it is time to grow up.
Oh, you're a man, all right, lad.
And our last and latest exhibit shows the murder that occurred in this very room 1 year ago. Right around this time of year. Coming in to check on a strange noise, Mr. Baron Frosty. And of course, Jack the Ripper.
I notice you don't show him with a victim. Isn't that more usual?
He gets bored. I mean, I change him up from time to time, rotate through the various set pieces, but I find him all more sinister when he's on his own.
Alexis was quite taken with him. She wanted to see what he looks like under that muffler.
No one knows what the Ripper looked like. You want to know a secret?
Yes.
My grandfather modeled him as a sort of self-portrait, but it bothered my grandmother, hence the muffler.
If he looked anything like this one, he must have been a charmer indeed.
Alexis.
Hist.
Waxworks.
What?
Murderer's Row. Can't be much of a row if we're not in.
I like waxworks. They're like big dollies.
That sounds like...
nothing good.
Come along, dearie. We need to get out of the way.
But Malcolm...
find a place to hide. This isn't your fight.
No, it's our fight, isn't it, my lad?
There are three of them.
You don't mind if I borrow, Jack?
She already took it from me, lad. But you know where the spares are. What sort of a fellow would I be without spares?
She took? Oh. I'll get that spare.
Oh, looky. All our new friends.
I want another boy, Dolly. A big, lovely boy, Dolly.
Too bad you bonked Percy. We could have introduced him to Marie Antoinette.
Hey!
Bloody hell!
Where did all the light go? You know I don't like the dark!
Alexis!
Take
Alexis!
We'll put it back when we're done.
Why me?
I've got my own ways. You need to defend yourself, though. And that nice Malcolm. You know, I think he might just be the ticket for you.
This is hardly the time.
If you help save his friends in here, he'll be very, very nice.
Pull the fuse. Then they can't turn the lights back on.
Already done.
Get behind me. When they've gone past...
Shh.
There's gotta be someone here.
If they're all wax, can they burn like candles?
They burn like tinder if the flicks have it right. Hello? Fire here. Gotta burn everything in sight if the lights don't come back on.
Ah! Bad Dolly!
Oi! You nearly burned me hand off. Leaping into me like that.
He pointed at me.
Aura, come here.
Don't like Dolly's dead move.
Ah! Calm now. You know Kev will fix it, won't Kev?
Yes, Kev. Barbara knows Kev will fix it.
Besides, this is boring. Nothing to steal here anyway. I say we bugger off, leave the geezer to his toys. Come on. Come on, Des. Come on.
Amateurs.
Ez? Des?
Des!
Bloody hell. Let's get out of here.
Such a pretty, pretty girl.
Who's that? Kev?
Come here, dear. I know the way out of this mess. You'll never have to worry again.
But Kev...
Give me your hand.
Yeah?
So warm.
Barbara. Barbara! Damn it, Barbara.
Dollies.
Why didn't you come?
I don't like the dark.
Here.
No, here, me old son. Oh.
Nice job.
I knew he had it in him.
Was I any help?
Oh, yes, that was a good distraction. But that first fellow?
Oh, that was Alexis. I'm far too squeamish.
She gives me credit for everything.
That's all right. He'll understand.
What's going on out there?
I think we've got a new exhibit in the offing. Good thing their faces weren't marred. Yes, officer?
Just a follow-up visit. Have you seen anything unusual recently?
Unusual? No, not since the car incident down the way 2 months ago.
Busy night, that was. Where the Beall burned down, and that poor young lady wrecked her car.
That poor young lady is my fiancée.
She came out of it all right, then? I saw that wreck. It was quite a trick. All burned and all.
Yes, she's quite broken up over her brother's death as well.
Oddest thing... Apparently, he was in the back seat, but the explosion blew him right into the trunk.
Now that you know how to find us, don't be a stranger. We have enough of those already. Tonight's episode... People Who Live in Wax Houses was written by Julie Hoverson as an homage to Amicus anthology films. In tonight's episode, Pippa Caldecott was Fiona Thrale, Malcolm was Ayub Cote, Alexis was Explody Joe of the Explody Files podcast, Professor Woodbridge was Anthony D.P. Mann of the Horror Etc. podcast. The Punks... Kev was James Sedgwick of Scattered Sounds Productions, Dez was Chris Barnes, and Barbara was Robin Keyes. Pippa's brother Christopher was Will Watt, and Dr. Grandy was Chris Woodward. Malcolm's friends Jack was Danner Hoverson, Crippen was Renaud LaBeouf, and Marie was Kate Waterus. Malcolm's mother was Judith Moore, Uncle Barry was John Lingard, His father was Gareth Bowley, and the strangely eternal policeman was Shane McGovern. Music for this episode was by Ciolo de Muret from their album Edipo Tirano, as available on Jamendo. Cover art for this episode was by Julie Hoverson. Sound and mastering was done by Julie Hoverson. Sound effects were found on soundsnap.com, onesoundfx.com, and sonomic.com. The opening theme was by Kevin McLeod at incompetech.com. The opening credits featured Cole Hornaday, Renaud LaBeouf, and Julie Hoverson. All persons, places, and events in this story were fictitious or used in a fictitious manner and are not meant to reflect any persons, places, or things, living, dead, or undead. Questions? Comments? We would love to hear from you. Contact us at 19nocturne@live.com, that's 19nocturne, or check out our website at www.19nocturneboulevard.com. This presentation is copyright 2011 to Julie Hoverson and Weality Productions and is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial license. Spread the show around, but don't try to make money off it. But your father wouldn't have wanted that.
No, he wouldn't have wanted that.
For a taste of the classics with a twist, join me, Marguerite, with Classical Chaos, Sunday mornings starting at 9, right here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, Canada.
And you are indeed listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and that concludes our show for Scalds Hall this week. Coming up in a moment or so, we'll have Canada Post Rock with John. And thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. And have a good week.
The 20th Annual Commuter Challenge.